Can't get enough wrestling talk? Well, check out Ringside Rant with top guys RJ and Justin, the kings of ranting. The new shows drop each Friday morning at 9 Eastern, and it'll take you back to the good old days of pro wrestling, but also the not so good days. Ringside Rant is available on all podcast platforms, as well as full press coverage, Wrestling with Johnners Network, and the Shining Wizards Network. You can also follow the show on Twitter @_ringsiderant. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows drop Friday morning at 9 Eastern. That's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. A couple of top guys doing top guy stuff. It's Ringside Rant with RJ and Justin. New shows Friday mornings at 9 Eastern.
It's Friday. It's 9 a.m. You know what that means. Another great episode of the Ringside Rant is with you this week. And introducing your host, he is Cincinnati's favorite son, J.D. Justin Davis. And from Rochester, New York, he is the man with the magical voice, RJ. And as always, welcome to Ranters Nation. Welcome to episode 162 of the Ringside Rant. I am the man with the magical voice, RJ. He is topless, out there, and loving it. From the great state of West Virginia, JD, Justin Davis. Justin, do I really need to ask?
What's going on, everybody?
Is it just because it's hotter than shit?
Yeah, got a new setup out on the back deck. I bought a new table and umbrella and love seat and all that this week. And so I've been hanging out at the pool the last couple of days pretty much. And as soon as we're done with this, I'm going to go back out there and do it again. But, you know, Jerry Lawler got awfully excited about puppies on this show. And so I just thought I'd show you mine during our show.
Oh, wonderful. Good thing this is an audio podcast because I just threw up in my mouth a little bit. Well, when you think the show doesn't get any into the weeds until you see nipples.
Nipples!
The transition really isn't anywhere good right now, but no, we are on our way to King of the Ring 2002. This is the first show that we're going to be doing. Is the Monday Night Raw from June 3rd, 2002 from the American Airlines Arena. Is it Arena Center? It says Center here, but I thought it was Arena. Whatever. The American Airlines Center in Dallas, Texas, 7,800. I think the arena is a little bit larger than that. I think this is like the secondary. So Denovius or John Hickson, let us know if that's true. But what did you, obviously watching it, this is your first time watching it, correct?
Mm-hmm.
Did you have anything building up into it, or was it just say, let's go kind of thing?
No, I really didn't. I mean, I knew that Flair was back here. I knew the NWO had just kind of come back. Other than that, there wasn't a whole lot that I knew about the storyline going into this show, watching it as I did this morning.
Yeah. But one guy that has a lot of say in storylines is Mr. Rich Palladino. So let's send it up to the ring to him right now.
It's the opening contest.
Hey, would you two quit wrestling? Stop, Ellie. Chill.
They heard Flair. They wanted to wrestle.
This is supposed to be nap time, which then you'll just snore like hell. So I guess it don't really matter.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
I'm fucked one way or the other.
All right. 3, 2, 1. All right. So this Raw opens up with a couple, vignettes, little promo for the rest of the show. We're going to have Kevin Nash come out. As you mentioned, the NWO is back in the WWE here in 2002, and he's kind of taken the leader role as mm-hmm. Hogan's now over on SmackDown that we'll see next week on the show. But so he's kind of taken the lead. He's got himself, Big Show, Booker T, and Sean Waltman, X-Pac there too. So it's kind of a weird combination, but it worked. So he has a big announcement coming up later tonight. And they also promote a lingerie match between Terry and Trish. Yeah. 2002, man.
2002. Yeah, I enjoyed that lingerie match. And I know not near as much as JR or as King did. And we'll get into that. But King was on fire during that match. It was actually really funny. But yeah, we open up here and we are in Dallas, home of people like James Elkari and Pondwater Dave and Michael Amend. So you know it can't be a great place.
Then you got Denovius and John Hicks in there. So you know it's like kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel in there. So
and Shawn Michaels. So I think he's more from Houston, but same thing. Anyways, we open up with, and we'll get to his ass later. Oh, we open up with Flair, who is now the co-owner of the WWE. Mm-hmm. So does Vince kind of run SmackDown and Flair kind
of
runs
as of right now? That's what it is. So a little context to it. This is 2002. For those of you that aren't familiar with it, the invasion is over. And when the WWF at this time is called, WWF won, WCW, ECW was bought out, and Vince won the war over Stephanie and Shane. So basically, the night after they won at Survivor Series, they said that they're no longer there. They sold their rights to the other half of the company and enter Ric Flair.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just kind of interesting where we're going to see here at SummerSlam, a little context to hit in 2002, we're going to see, we may do that eventually. I'm not 100% sure. I'd have to look at the schedule, but 2002, you're going to see Vince McMahon and Ric Flair in a street fight at SummerSlam, or excuse me, not SummerSlam, Royal Rumble. Excuse me. We just saw it. So it's an interesting time here. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. But Flair walks out with Benoit and Eddie, and he has a bunch of security cops walking behind him. They look like Paul Blart's walking behind him back there. they say Steve Austin is benched, and then we see Steve with a beat up enforcer in the background as he's beat the hell out of Arn Anderson. JR and King, like I said earlier, they are just great here right from the start of the show. I thought that they were really, for me, my favorite part of the show. JR and King, I felt like were really, really solid in this show. Steve says, "What's a nature boy? What? Do you like nature? What? Do you like boys? What?"
Which I thought was funny. Did you, obviously being the first time this is the beginning of the what chant. It's still going now. I think it's one of the most ridiculous chants in all of professional wrestling. This is where it started for your reference anyways.
Do you like nature? Do you like boys? And the funny thing is I thought that too in my past. I'm thinking, what is a nature boy?
Yeah.
Like, is it a boy in nature? That's just like walking around naked. Like he just grew up in nature.
Says the guy not wearing a shirt.
Well, I think I might be the nature boy because I'm in West Virginia right now.
So, keep thinking that.
But then he says, nature is calling right now, where we see Steve Austin piss some neon yellow substance goes all over Arn's shirt. And
you think that's shoot piss or working piss?
That was working piss because that was I've been very dehydrated after a night out with the boys, but I don't think my piss was ever that neon yellow
because it looked like you know, you go to the movie. Well, now people go.
Yeah, it looked like the butter popcorn.
The butter from the popcorn. I'm like, so is it Jolly Time popcorn or is it Pop Secret popcorn? What are we dealing with here?
Well, anyway, so that's how we open up our first segment right there with Arn Anderson getting pissed on.
I just see my thing with this was I know it's 2002 and you're kind of on that end of the Attitude Era. And you kind of want to grasp at straws, try to get it back. But it's just like, well, what the fuck, man? Really? You're really going to do this? I know you don't have any legitimate competition because you bought out your competition in WCW and ECW. Yeah. So it's like, okay, so we're doing this. I'm like, this just took way too goddamn long.
Let me ask you this, because everyone always has these conspiracy theories, right?
Sure.
Is this a Vince rib? Pal, remember when Arn and Tully left in 89? This will get him.
And now we're going to piss all over him.
Piss all over. He's going to piss.
There you go. There's a new shirt right there. He's gonna piss. But yeah, I know it's stuff that, you know, you can really get away with in 2002. You probably could get away with it on AEW, but pretty much you ain't getting away with that on WWE.
I'd like to see somebody piss on Tony Khan right now at this point. But
Okay. So you open up that can of worms. So I know. Did you watch the pay-per-view last night? Okay.
No.
Context, we're recording the night after.
I was getting live tweets in my group chat from my slapdick friends. So I was knowing what was going on, but not really.
So he basically, at the presser after the show, he basically ripped Eric Bischoff a new asshole.
I saw that, yeah. And can you get one more F-bomb in a sentence? Like,
Jesus
what
Christ.
The
and,
hell?
And this is the owner and CEO of AEW. And was it Tottenham or something, the soccer organization, and the Jaguars?
Yeah.
Dude, I know you're not, I know you're passionate. I get it. But fuck, man. Seriously?
F the FFF.
You're telling me you're going to, here's an example. I know it's not really apples to apples, but whatever. I don't care. You go in to your principal at school. And he is it T, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And he's starting dropping F bombs left and right, you know, shit this, fuck that, yeah. Whatever. You're not going to take him seriously, are you?
No.
Then why? I'm like, I get
and
it.
I mean, I get
it. And I love his passion. I get it. But that's just a little over the top.
I mean, Vince, he went and did the Pat McAfee show, but he didn't drop F bomb after F bomb. He did cuss a few times, but. I mean, that's just normal discourse, but this was almost like it was done intentionally for some type of, I don't know, like, who cares about Eric Bischoff if you're Tony Khan?
Like, why does it matter?
Yeah.
And it's just like, dude, lay off the fucking energy drinks. Maybe drink decaf or something. Either that or stop snorting stuff.
I don't know. But yeah, it was definitely awkward. So were some of Jeff Hardy's antics last night, too.
I love him. We grew up more so me, because you grew up with it a little bit too during the Hardy Boys in their prime, but something ain't right, man. And I hope I'm wrong. And I just hope it's like he's hurt or something, but
I don't know.
Who doesn't look right?
But I'll tell you another thing is this whole MJF situation is blowing up.
Oh, fuck. So now apparently they're taking him off the road.
Mm-hmm.
And indefinitely until basically whenever. So
what they're going to do in a shoot style is what was work style in this show. They're going to bench him.
Exactly. It's basically what they're doing with Sasha Banks and fucking Naomi, allegedly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But anyways, Brian Hebner and I are going to be talking about it. Your favorite referee are going to be talking about that or talked about it on.
Are you getting Mike Chioda on your show?
I don't know, man.
Oh, well, you said my favorite referee. I thought you, because that's what I thought you meant. But anyways.
Okay. So anyways. So
we have our first match here.
Hardcore title, man. And speaking of favorite referees, you got Jackie here.
Yep.
Wow.
The first appearance of puppies on this show, and there'll be many more.
Yeah, Bradshaw, right?
Yep. Bradshaw and Stevie Richards, who is the hardcore champion. This was a very quick match, very quick opener. I think it was just a way to get that Texas crowd excited, to have a Texas boy go over as the new hardcore champion. And it was pretty much a squash match. Richards takes one of those fucking hellacious clotheslines, and that's it. Mm-hmm. Justin Credible comes out, gets a trash can put on his head, and he gets killed by Bradshaw as well. So
don't forget Spike Dudley too comes out. The toughest 150-pound man that you'll ever meet. but yeah, man, it's just I got it. At this time I dug it, but watching it back, it's just like, really?
Well, we're gonna do that? They're gonna put they're just putting Bradshaw over as a badass, Texas badass, you know, trying to get that crowd hot at the beginning, I think. Then speaking of Texas, backstage, we have another man from Texas, Goldust. He wants to be in the NWO. Can you imagine that? Goldust making his face paint black and white with NWO on his head. That'd be awesome.
I just found it hilarious at this time where Goldust, he's not as obviously as relevant as he was back in the mid 90s at this time as compared to now, but he's still getting those pops. He's still getting the laughs. Granted, he's a comical figure now. He's not really, he still can go, but he's not winning anything. You know, he's not winning the IC titles, not winning the tag titles until a little bit later on with his brother, Cody. But yeah, I just found it a little bit awkward too.
Well, you know what? I never thought about this until just now. You ever notice whenever they do shows in Texas, they make it a big deal to feature their Texas born people.
Sure.
Like on this show, we see, you know, Steve Austin,
Goldust,
JBL, Bradshaw, Shawn Michaels.
Eddie's from El Paso.
Yeah. So, and Taker and all this stuff. Yep. So it seems like they always try to make an effort when they go to Texas, which you don't really see them do that as much. Like if they go to Rhode Island, they're like, okay, who here is from Rhode Island? Nobody.
Frank Bruno and Andy Pyrus, you're up next.
Yeah. So, but they always do seem like they feature the Texas people when they go there and try to focus, like whenever Sean would win a title, they'd want it in Houston or something like that, you know?
Yeah. So you mentioned Goldust here. We'll move on to the match, but he's imitating Coach. And basically interviewing the NWO, trying to get out of Nash, what their announcement's going to be. And
Nash says if Goldust beats X-Pac,
he can get his spot.
Yeah.
So you know what's going to happen then. Goldust is going to lose.
I thought it would have been funny if he would have won.
Oh, my God. It would have been hilarious to see Goldust in the NWO. I'm like, fuck, if Booker T's in it, why the fuck not?
Then you got to show him like going to a bar after the wrestling match and like Goldust is over talking to a dude while the rest of the NWO is like
with his fucking wig on and everything. That would have been great. But anyway,
there would have been some comedy gold in that angle right there.
So we have a King of the Ring qualifying match between Goldust and X-Pac up next here. Going back, obviously, you know, the King of the Ring is one of those historical tournaments in all of wrestling. Did you really dig it here in 2002? They brought it back.
Yeah, I always have liked King of the Ring. Always liked it as a kid, liked it as an adult. I still like the idea of it. I like the tournament thing.
Yeah, and they're doing it here too, both on Raw and SmackDown to get kind of a big kind of send-off at the end.
And back in the day when it was used right and promoted right and done right, it built people's careers.
Right, it did.
I mean, from Brett
won in Owens, 93, right?
Triple H, Austin. Steve Austin. I mean, you can go down the line of people that it really helped put the rocket ship up their ass. So, and then they just kind of, I don't know, so-so'd it, you know?
Yeah.
I also feel like if you wanted to make it more of a thing, you could make the King of the Ring winner get a title shot at SummerSlam.
So, spoiler alert. That may be a possibility coming up here in a couple weeks.
That's what I hear.
So, it may happen. So, you know, this match, X-Pac's going to end up going over. A decent match, man. Two of the veteran workers in the company. Really, it was a solid match. It's what you would expect.
Yeah, nothing wrong with
from these two guys.
Goldust got a pop when he come in and did the Bronco Buster on X-Pac.
Dude, that's fucking awesome, man.
And then he tried to, and JR said, I think he's trying to do a little extra or something like that.
But
then he came try to come back for a second one, and X-Pac
put his boot
right in Goldust's balls. And then he gets the X-Pac finish. Good finish. Good little match. It was fun.
So X-Pac's moving on in the tournament. Next, we're going to see a video package of RVD and Eddie's ladder match from last week. Where Van Dam got the IC title back from Eddie that he lost to him. Mm-hmm. And dude, that if go back and watch it, obviously we're not covering it here. Go back and watch it. That was one of the more iconic ladder matches on
I was television. Actually planning on doing that when I saw them cutting to it. I thought, well, if they're still promoting it, you know, a week later on Raw, then they must feel pretty proud of it.
Right. Right. And so we're going to get cut back to the backstage where you see Jeff Hardy playing a guitar in the back when Matt comes up to him and starts talking to him. And Jeff wants to know what else there is to life. So kind of foreshadowing.
Yeah.
Look, he kind of looking back on it, actually 20 years after the fact, this is 2002, 20 years as of the 3rd of June, which is today.
Mm-hmm.
So 20 years ago today, this Raw happened, which I feel old as shit now. But anyways, he just doesn't think that the Hardys are extreme anymore or live in the moment anymore. And then he just kind of hands Matt the guitar and walks away.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they're trying to get at with this?
Yeah, I think it's just, we'll see here later on in the show when he comes out, does something, and then gets his brother beat up. Yeah. So I think that's what the story is foreshadowing toward them probably doing a breakup here or something around
well,
that.
Keep in mind, this is the time where Matt and Jeff are really feuding with The Undertaker and Brock Lesnar at the time, where they're really trying to get the Lesnar over as his fucking beast and all that stuff. So he takes out both the Hardy boys. And, you know, we're talking about, Undertaker and Hardy and all that stuff. So anyway, so
it's time to get to the semi-main event.
Really?
Is it really? The women's lingerie match?
Yeah. It's not even close to the main event, but okay.
This was King's main event. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
The women's lingerie match. King almost passes out and says he's so horny he can barely talk, which I was like, oh my God.
My, how the times have changed.
King says, I love during the match, and match starts. And what's her name? Who's wrestling? We didn't even say this. This is
Trish Stratus and Terry Runnels.
Terry comes out and does a little bit through the match. She does a crossbody, and King says, I love crossbodies, JR. And then he says, hey, come over here, cross my body.
But that's the thing. That's what was JR, or excuse me, Jerry was at this time, though. You know, JR was a serious guy.
But even JR was having fun with this one. He was getting his cracks in too while it was going.
Have to, but it's like, what the shit, man? Really? Are you really going to do that? But
Trish wins, of course, and of course. Then we see Arn is in the back, and he is pissed off, but he's got a new shirt at least. He's not in the yellow stain.
At least he doesn't have piss all over him, so.
As Pat Patterson used to say, yellow in the front, brown in the white. Or yellow in the front, brown in the back.
Brown in the back. There you go. You're a good singer.
Brown in the white. Yeah. That's a song, Brown in the White. I've had the brown and the white a few times back in my younger days. Arn says
well, you might as well stop the recording now, Justin. We can't get any better than that.
Arn says that after Ric Flair beats Austin, that Austin's going to have to be cleaning Rick's toilets, and Arn will make a deposit as Steve is cleaning one of the toilets, is what his plan is now.
Nothing's funnier than piss and shit.
We are all in piss and shit comedy and with Double A tonight.
and we're wrist deep in shit.
Yep. So
myself.
After all this, we actually get to a decent match.
Yeah, so we're going to see, was it? We got Lesnar and Eddie. Versus Bubba and RVD. So keep in mind, this is after the draft where the Dudley boys have been split up. Bubba's on Raw. Devon's on SmackDown, as we're going to see next week, as the Reverend Devon the Deacon Devon or whatever the fuck he is. Or no, Deacon Batista. Reverend Devon. There you go. And he's going to testify. But anyway, so decent match here, man. So this is... How young does fucking Lesnar look, man? I can't. Mm-hmm. I couldn't get over it.
Yeah, I thought him and Bubba worked together well in the ring. Nice match, really. Eddie beats RVD with a frog splash after some confusion at the end, of course. But overall, nothing to complain about on that match. I actually kind of enjoyed it. I thought it was a top three match on this card without question.
Because this is
best one we've seen so far.
Yeah, this is Bubba's first really big singles push in WWE. And it's good to see. And you know he's a good worker because he's really selling his ass off for Lesnar, getting him over. He tells himself to get the tables at one point.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, righty then. I'm like, you know, you have a fucking partner. Just tell him to get the table. But
you know, I have to tell myself to do things sometimes, too. I mean, I've been there, done that.
Just put a shirt on.
It's usually telling myself things not to do, not what to do.
Well, but that's implied, though, at this point. But something else that you did notice here, too, if you guys go back and watch it, this music entrance for Lesnar isn't his classic, is his one that he has now.
No.
His original one. So it's kind of weird to see him come out to something other than the next big thing.
Speaking of weird music, our next match.
Oh,
Booker and Regal, and Regal's music was terrible. Like I've never heard him have this music before, but it had no like British sounding anything. It was like just kind of like a dark, like heel boring.
That's kind of what he was at this time.
Yeah,
where he wanted the slow, the bum bum.
Yeah,
yeah. So it wasn't like the
I ones hated
that
it.
Hit. It wasn't the stuff that he had in WCW.
Not nearly as good as he's a man.
Such a man. He's a real man. Yeah. Anyway, so real man's man here loses to Booker T in another qualifying match for the King of the Ring. Regal is the European champion here. So it's like, okay, why are you going to put your champions in qualifying matches for the King of the Ring?
Yeah.
You know, after I thought about it, I'm like, okay, maybe it's just a fact that, hey, let's put Regal against Booker. They have history together. They know each other well. Regal can get him over because they're really starting to push Booker here. He's part of the NWO, which really I didn't get. And it's just like, you're supposed to get this NWO over as like heels, but everybody's cheering Booker T.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, I don't like Booker in there. But Regal tries to bring in the belt and something else. And the referee catches him with the second thing he had. I forget what it was. And then while the referee's distracted, Book hits Regal with the belt that Regal brought in. Yeah.
So when was the last time you did a spinneroonie?
Oh, it's been done, but it's been a decade or more.
Yeah.
At this point in my life, their spinaroonies are canceled.
But rumored innuendo has it that when you did a spinaroonie, you weren't wearing any pants.
Yeah,
is that true?
There was a lot of things spinning around when I did it, yeah.
All right, then. Well, that's not what I expected. I was going to float it out there, but I appreciate you going with it. Outside of the, our Jello topic last
week? Oh, yeah.
We got over too, but... Jello's better than Skyline Chili, I'll tell you that much.
Mm. Imagine Skyline Jello. Now I'll be in for that.
Really? No, seriously though.
I'm just trying to piss off Drucifer each week at this point.
Oh, of course. At this point, why not? Would you put the Jello inside or the chili inside the Jello or the Jello inside?
You want me to tell you Jeff Jarrett style? Or Jerry.
Dare you?
Now you take, here's what you do, RJ. You take and you put in the meat into the Jell-O, see? And you put the meat in the Jell-O and then you let it sit in the refrigerator a while. And it goes good with the cherry Jell-O, RJ.
Cherry? You think cherry? I was thinking more of like a, I was thinking more of like a grape. That's me.
Well.
I don't know.
We'll
Jerry,
try it.
You can tweet us. Would you combine your chili with? What kind of Jello? Grape or cherry?
Everyone come to my room at Top Guy Weekend if you want some chili Jello.
Cherry chili. There you go. Cherry chili. After a night of drinking, what do you have? Oh, I have cherry Jello chili.
Adam DeMoyle eat it after he's had a little bit.
Well,
after he's been
in
my Evan Williams bottle. He'll eat
Jesus
anything.
Christ. He has to keep the hair out of his face, though.
Yeah. What's our we got fifth match, Dreamer and Taker. Oh, and this match was puke.
So a little context to it. This is the time frame where Dreamer basically it's true pretty much, is he can vomit on command.
He's gonna puke.
And he comes out, he has the bucket, and he's puking, watching him get his ass kicked by Undertaker. And I'm like, really? One of the best minds of all time, and you're gonna saddle him with this shit?
Really? It was interesting, that's to say the least. I do like heel Taker though. I always have.
Oh, without question. The American, because this was this this was an American Badass one. This was Big Evil.
Yeah.
Okay. So
there's just not a lot to say. There's a lot of puking during the match. After Taker beats Dreamer, he pours the bucket of puke over Dreamer's face. Then Jeff Hardy comes out, drop kicks Undertaker in the back, knocks Taker into the puke. This then sets off a chain of event, which now Taker, after the commercial, we find him in the back beating the fuck out of Matt Hardy because of what his brother Jeff did. So now going back to earlier in the show when we were talking about Matt and Jeff's conversation,
this is
Jeff is now getting Matt beat up for shit that he's doing. So now I imagine that's going to cause friction between the two of them at some point.
Yeah, so this was not a good match at all, but
no,
whatever. So Kevin Nash's big announcement is up now.
Oh no.
So I will take this because I know you won't want to say that gentleman's name come out of your mouth. So he keeps it short and says that Shawn Michaels is the newest member of the NWO, because why the fuck not?
Well, you know what wasn't short? His entrance.
Oh my god. Thank fucking Lord.
His entrance was so long that thank God they didn't have enough time to do a promo.
They didn't fucking do anything. They posed like they were Diesel again. It's like, what the fuck? Really? We're going to do this again? Really?
Yeah.
I'm like, it made more sense for Booker to be in the fucking NWO than Shawn Michaels.
We're getting that Texas pop for Shawn to come out here. And I mean, it does make sense for Shawn to be in the NWO.
It would have made sense to 5 years ago, previous to this, when he lost his smile, joined the NWO.
For real.
That makes sense. For real.
So we wait 10 minutes for Idiot to come out in his entrance and pose. Yeah. And like I said, thank God they didn't cut a promo. But now we get to the best part of the show.
No, it's not Bret Hart.
It is not Bret Hart, but that would have been amazing if he would have been the special guest referee in this match. But Flair comes out for the main event. He is in his blue robe with the diamond-looking sequins on it, blue tights, blue boots, and the crowd loses their ever-loving shit when the glass breaks and Steve Austin comes out. Flair still looks good here. Did you think? I mean, I thought he looked good physically in the ring. No, Flair.
Oh, yeah, Flair looked... He looked good at this time. I think he was at this was that time we was kind of in between of, hey, what the fuck am I doing? And, you know, am I going to go home? Is it really worth it kind of thing? I dug it. I really did. I was always later on, they'd form Evolution. And I was always I was a big fan of that, but
I knew this match would be good, right. But honestly, it was a lot better than I thought it would be.
Oh, without question. And, you know, rumor and innuendo has it that this was supposed to be the main event at Starrcade 94 until Hogan decided that Beefcake and Hogan was the best option. Let that simmer for a second, folks. We have Stunning Steve Austin versus Ric Flair in 1994 Starrcade main eventing.
And what was it? Have Brutus fucking
Barber Beefcake.
Was he the butcher or was he the booty man?
I think he was the booty man at this point.
Ooh, the booty man got a main event spot.
Said nobody ever. Well, in 94. So it's like, what the fuck, man? I'm like, I want Hogan and Beefcake as a main event as much as I want the Cincinnati Reds to win the fucking World Series.
I don't think you have to worry about that anytime soon.
Exactly. That's my point.
the angle in this match is that Austin cannot throw a punch. So Austin keeps wanting to throw a punch, but can't. At one point, Charles Robinson gets distracted. Flair gets stunned, and Flair sold that first stunner as good as anyone I've ever seen sell one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He sold it like a fucking champ.
Kind of rolled out of it, but he didn't oversell it, but it looked good.
Right.
One of the few times Flair didn't oversell.
Right. Wow. You know that wouldn't last.
Flair, let's see, Guerrero then low blows and frog splashes Austin while Robinson is still getting distracted. I thought, like I said, just a great match. I thought Austin gave Flair a lot of offense in this match.
But he worked well with him for not being having to throw a punch. You don't know how hard that is until you do it.
Basically, it was just all chops all night.
Pretty much.
Instead of punches. Toward the end, though, of course, Flair, he gets caught up on top rope. Can you imagine such a travesty? Flair gets caught up there. And at this point, when he gets up to get thrown off the ropes, he looked blue up to me. He got up slow. It's like he had to kind of make himself get going. I mean, I don't blame him for being blown up because they had a fast pace in this match.
Sure.
And they really gave it all they had, I felt like. I thought both guys wrestled this match extremely well. Flair had three thumbs to the eyes during the match, which was a little too much, as Dave.
Too many?
Silver would say. Austin wins with his second stunner. And to me, this match gets a 4-star on the Meltzer scale for me.
So would that be four bowls of Skyline chili?
Yes, I would give that 4. That's a 4-way. Like a 4-way, that's no onion. You get beans and the cheese and the meat.
No onions? Why would you not put onions in
chili? I don't like raw onions.
That's soup.
I don't like raw onions.
But they're cooked, though. They're being chili.
No. The chili is just the chili. There ain't nothing in there but meat.
Oh, you're talking on top, you mean?
Then they put the raw onions and the beans and the cheese on top.
Gotcha, okay.
And the spaghetti, of course, it's on the bottom.
So
I don't do the onions. I go 4-way, so this match gets a 4-way for me.
Yeah. So we had one question come in from Mr. Brad Stanton about this match specifically. He says, knowing now that Stone Cold walks out of the company next week, did either of you see anything in this match that would suggest he wasn't happy?
No.
I think he just went out there and he worked. I think he really, obviously hindsight being what it is, I think he already had his mind made up regardless.
Yeah.
Because it's like, this is the first.
I think Steve is a big enough professional, especially at being in Texas, that he's going to want to perform for those people and not disappoint them. And so that's what he did.
Right. And I get that, but it's just like, okay, well, we know what's going to happen at WrestleMania 19. He's going to walk out. He actually is physically going to say, hey, I am done now, because he can't take it anymore, between hindsight to his anxiety and all that shit. But yeah, overall, man, this is the first Raw where, you know, our march towards King of the Ring 2002. A lot of qualifying matches, so we know what's going to happen. We still had a couple matches in here that really continued storyline building. Obviously, Austin was one of those things that wasn't planned, obviously, for these guys. So they kind of had to call an audible, as we'll see in a couple weeks when we do another Raw.
I thought this Raw was just a very solid, above average Raw. Great main event.
Mm-hmm.
Good, you know, I like these King of the Ring qualifier matches, Goldust and X-Pac. I always like those because sometimes you get unique combinations, like you'll get faces against faces and heels against heels and stuff like that. Yeah. So overall, very solid for me. Like I said, I love that last match a lot. Yeah. And I was pleasantly surprised by the whole thing. I thought it was a good Raw.
So seeing it for the first time that you did, who's one of the guys that you really dug his working style? Guys that you already know with like Goldust and X-Pac, the guys that you've seen in the past. Mm-hmm. Who's one of those guys or gals that you really want to, you know, we're going to keep you coming back?
Regal.
Yeah.
I mean, he's someone I knew too, but I love him on here. Young Lesnar. I mean, obviously you got Eddie and Benoit. There's just a lot of good stuff here. But you know what? If I was just a fan watching that show, the reason I'd want to come back, two reasons. The main event match was fantastic, and the build to it and the storyline throughout the whole show with the main event match was fantastic.
And it's
number two is just JR and King's work. JR and King were fantastic on this match.
Part. And obviously that'd be something that you'd be watching. You wouldn't be there live because obviously you wouldn't be able to hear them if you're there live. But obviously watching Raw at this time, that would probably be that would be key as well, because at this time, with 2002, just graduating high school this spring of this year, anyways, for myself anyways. But yeah, man, it was definitely a good Raw. Another guy that we've actually hired, we gave him a raise. I don't know why the fuck we gave him a raise, but Elijah's back. So we'll welcome in here back Elijah. So Elijah, come here, buddy. Hit the button.
Ever since you were young, everybody has always told you that breakfast is the most important meal of the day. And nowadays, we are all trying to eat better. But healthy breakfast doesn't have to be boring. Magic Spoon has the amazing flavors you love, but without all that bad stuff in it. They have a variety pack of four different flavors, including cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs. And it only has 140 calories a serving, so you know it's good. It's also keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. You know, when I first got this cereal, I told my wife, hey, let's put some of these together. Let's put the cocoa together and the peanut butter together. It's like going back to the days you were little and you mixed all those together as well. But this time around, it's much, much healthier for you. And my wife and my 10-year-old son absolutely love it because they eat cereal all the time. And now, for a fact, it's going to be Magic Spoon. So go to magicspoon.com/ringside to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code ringside at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, get to your next delicious bowl of gluten-free cereal at magicspoon.com/ringside and use the promo code ringside to save $5 off. Thank you to our friend at Magic Spoon.
Let's get musical. Let me hear your body talk.
All right, Justin. So we have 3 more picks going on to this great, great list that we have going now, man. We're on our way to 100. With these 3 additions, we're going to be up to 68 entries in our Wrestling with Music. It's creating a lot of buzz online. From what I've seen, a lot of people are throwing, oh, you got to put this 80s music in here. You got to put this 90s. DM me. DM Justin. Let us know what you want on here. I put tweets out every day about saying, hey, we're calling you guys out. We want your picks. And we've only had, I believe it was Brian is going to be this week with his pick. He gave us a couple. Eddie Prather gave us a couple. I know those aren't the only 2 guys that listen to the fucking show. So let's go, guys. Come on. I'm calling you out. So top 10, just to kind of go back on it. Obviously, it's been a week since we haven't done one. So we got Steve Austin at 1, Randy Savage at 2, NWO at 3, Undertaker at 4, Bret Hart at 5, Demolition at 6, Harlem Heat at 7, Jake Roberts. So he just celebrating a birthday. So happy birthday.
Yes.
Ric Flair, number 9, and Razor Ramon at number 10. So, Justin, what is your pick for this week?
Well, we are recording this on a fantastic Memorial Day Monday. And I believe this man is Mr. Monday Night, right, RJ?
Yes, sir.
All right, let's do it.
Monday Night.
All right. So we're going to cut. I know it's a little 45 seconds in there to that one, but believe it or not, people, this is the entrance music that Justin walks into school with each and every day.
Oh, you know it. People do the hey when I walk in. All the kids.
Hey, well, that says, hey, get out. So this is pretty iconic at this time. Music, you know, this is one of those types of music, and I'll let you get into it, but at least what I gathered from it, this was my, I had this on my playlist in high school when I played baseball and when I played football. It was kind of one of those musics to kind of pump you up. So like I said, you hear this, people know who it is. I think
I can, now I'm going to put this right behind Eric Bischoff and right in front of Carlito.
At 24 there?
Mm-hmm.
I could dig that. That's actually where I was going with that. Was that one of those things? Do you remember hearing this? Obviously going back, you were watching, but do you remember this song later on?
Yeah. Not a lot, but once I started hearing it, I remembered it.
Sure. All right. So my addition to this week, Justin, get the tables.
Yeah, we coming now. Come on. Yeah, that's right. We put it down. It's like a family in here, just a little disabled. Putting it down, we lay them out on the table. Yeah. Who's in the house? The brothers in the house. Gotta turn it on out, let you know what we about. Kinda like Cain and Abel, a bit unstable. Don't be breaking the brain, break the whole damn table. How we shut it down, we give them a blast.
All right, Justin. So I can sense that you didn't dig it.
Not as much as RVD's, but I like the opening line about our family just a little disabled.
Yeah, I dug it. I like it though. That's one of those things too where I had it on my playlist too. I would put it right. I'd put it just under. Honestly, I put it at 26, right under Carlito, right above Sid.
I probably would have went 28, but I can go 26. That's fine.
I just think too, because it's just more, it fits them. Obviously it's their music. They've gone through a couple of incarnations of their music as well. So it makes sense where I was honestly thinking about putting it up higher, to be honest with you, putting it up underneath Goldust at 21 between him and Mark Henry. But after I thought about it, I'm like, I can't do that. I can't, unfortunately.
Well, you probably get your wig split if you put it in front of Mark Henry, because I'll call his ass, tell him what you did.
Go ahead. I'd happily get my ass kicked by Mark Henry. As long as it's Mark Henry and not Sexual Chocolate, I don't give a
ooh,
shit.
Oh.
No, I'm not going to feel that one.
Speaking of Sexual Chocolate, who's up next here?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Speaking of sexual chocolate, Brian Haremza has his addition to the Wrestling with Music this week. He has The Rock's 2003 heel theme music. So keep in mind, this is him coming back from being in the movies for X amount of time. I can't remember how long he was out. So without further ado. All right, so I wanted to wait until that moment, till that guitar riff came, because that was what made this theme music for me. It really
is Haremza fucking with me right now?
Probably. I don't fucking know.
That is shit compared to Rock's regular music.
But that's the thing. It had
to
be different.
It's too slow. It's too damn slow.
And keep in mind, too, I fast forward about 50 seconds because the beginning of it, go over and put it in YouTube. 2003 heel.
I don't want to hear that ever again.
Well, no, I understand that, but do it because there's like 50 seconds of that shit where you think it's a fucking Undertaker.
Yeah.
And it's like, fuck, man. Wait, really?
Dude, like, I liked it. That blew for me. I was like, I kept waiting for it to get good and it never did.
So
I've had sex like that. Keep waiting for it to get good and never does.
Yeah, so I see what I have to deal with, guys. Seriously, it's been this for what? Like, we're trying to figure out the other day. Seriously, between myself, you, Canadian Travis, American Travis, and Matt.
Yeah,
I'm like, when the fuck did we start like becoming friends? And I'm like, fuck, I knew it was like 2018, 2019 around there. But yeah. I'm like, fuck, man, anyways, I've been putting up with this long, guys. So have at it.
I think I'd have to go lower than Ray at 55.
Really?
Yep. Who's after? Oh, there's Rocky's first theme song, and I like it better than I like this.
Just don't put it far lower than Disco Inferno. That's all I fucking care.
Oh, okay. I'll put it right in front of
59, excuse me. Just put it in front of Disco, because Disco is the drizzling shits.
Haremza, be lucky that he wanted that done, because I would have kept on going.
Because
if I'm going to sink, I might as well go to the bottom.
How about this? Oh, wait. Well,
I mean, it's fine there, I guess.
Because I'm even thinking, it's like, okay. It's not worse than Brett's WCW.
No, probably not.
It's not worse than movies.
Country guitar twang at the beginning.
Oh, Jesus Christ. All right. So, Brian, I apologize that Justin shat all over your...
It was a huge shat. Just like what Arn Anderson's going to do to that toilet when Steve's going to be cleaning.
There you go. There it is. So, Brian, we appreciate your addition to the show this week. Next week, we're going to have Eddie Prather's addition to the show. So as you know what the hell that's going to be. So we'll just leave that open until you hear it next week.
I'm going to have to get my 8-track out or something, because that's probably what he's got songs from.
Well, I think it's older than Dave or Pondwater Dave too. But anyways, you can hit us up online at @_ringsiderant on Twitter. Gimmick. He is at JD2040 on Twitter as well. Or you can simply go over to castbuy.com/ringsiderant. We have all our great platforms that were on there, our great networks that we're a part of, the Shining Wizards Wrestling Network, the Wrestling with Johnners Network, as well as the great people over at Full Press Coverage. Thank you to each and every one of you for allowing us to be on your network. Justin, next week, we're going to be going over and ranting about the SmackDown from June the 13th of 2002. So we're going to start seeing the other side, what the other brand's doing. Obviously, you got the traveling champion. Sometimes we're going to show up on both brands, but for the most part, they're staying where they are.
Yeah.
So obviously, this
sounds good.
So this is pretty much going to continue your love affair with 2002 WWE. So we started off the show with you topless. You are still topless. Yeah, a little bit more sweaty. You probably have to go put some baby powder underneath your, well, whatever. And we'll just go from there. But anyways, you got anything else before we close shop?
Oh, I got to go and find some clothes to throw in a bag, because I am heading to Beantown in the morning to watch the feared Cincinnati Redlegs play the Boston Red Sox at Great Fenway Park. So I'm excited about that. My dad and my brother and I will be flying to Boston tomorrow and taking a game in at Fenway for the first time. So I'm pretty pumped.
And folks, the question I asked him, I'm like, really? You're going to go all the way to Fenway to see the Reds lose? I said, hey, go ahead, man. But what the fuck?
This is called a diehard fan. This is not someone that doesn't go places just because they suck. Because if I did that, we would never get to go watch them play. So
you never leave the house. But guys, appreciate you listening this week. Tune in next week as we go over that as well, the SmackDown from June the 13th, 2002. Get your questions in. DM at @_ringsiderant or at JD2040, and we will see you right back here in Ranters Nation. Ranters Nation, there we go, next week.